Hello, and welcome to the Divorced Dadvocate, where we help dads navigate through life during and after divorce and create an amazing life for themselves and their children. I'm your host, Jude Sandoval. Thanks for being here today. I sincerely appreciate it. I hope everybody is into the holiday swing of things. We here in Denver, Colorado, just got a little bit of snow, so it's feeling even more and more like the holiday in soon to be a winter time coming up here. So today I have, well, actually I have to say that I had a different topic in mind here. I was going to bring you a session of our meetup group that we had this morning. We had a phenomenal conversation about multiple things with the divorced fathers that were on the call this morning, or on the Zoom call this morning, and I wanted to share that with each of you. However, it did not record properly, and so I'm not able to do that. So I've got a plan B. It's a little bit different, and I'll try to bring one of those meetup calls to you in the future so that you can see what the benefit is of meeting with the gentleman. I think we had about a half a dozen men on this morning. And we talked about things from personality disorders to how to deal with our own stuff and how to recognize the stuff and the responsibility that we have and how we work through and process and recognize that stuff. It was really a phenomenal conversation. I'm proud of all the men that were there this morning, Jason and Jesse and Stefan and David and I think that's it. But if I forgot anybody, if you're listening, I appreciate the effort and all the work that each of you are putting in. I'm quite proud of you and quite proud of where you're going. So today, I wanted to talk about grief, and I'll tell you the stimulus behind this is that one of the gentlemen in the meetup group recommended this book called Rebuilding. And it's called, the full title is Rebuilding When Your Relationship Ends. It's by Dr. Bruce Fisher. And it's a really excellent book. I got through it a little while ago. And it is a step-by-step guide. And it actually has steps, like rebuilding steps to go through, assisting in the first part, kind of recognizing what's happening with your relationship and it ending. And then the second part, how to build a healthier mindset towards potentially having better future relationships. And it's very systematic, which I found to be incredibly helpful, particularly being a guy and wanting to have a step-by-step process. And what I found in going through this book is a lot of the stuff I had already done. So I thought to myself, wow, that's excellent. I've done a ton of this stuff. However, it's been really haphazard all over the place over the past 8.5 years. And I wish I would have had this process a lot earlier, because it would have saved me a lot of pain and heartache and beating my head against the wall. And the second thing I found is there were some parts in here I hadn't addressed. And one of those was grief. Now, I had known about kind of the grief process and what's her name? Elizabeth Kubler-Ross's identification of the 5 steps through grief, but I hadn't really done the work to identify what some of those things are, and then also utilize some different ways in order to deal with it. So that's what I wanted to do today. And bear with me. I'm going to have some pauses. I've got a lot of notes here. I've got a lot of source materials here, and I want to get this right for everybody out there, because I've done over the past couple of weeks, because I recognize that I hadn't grieved over several losses of past relationships, not only my marriage, but relationships since and relationships prior. And that's one of the things that it states in this book is, if you haven't worked through a grief process through maybe a loss of a loved one, or potentially having gone through something that's emotional and traumatic in your childhood that this grief process can be very, very strong, very emotional coming up for you now. And as I'm sure you all know, that this is a challenging process going through divorce, and it's chaotic. It brings up all kinds of emotions, and we're questioning a lot of stuff. So it's a very excellent time for us to, at least this has been my experience now. And this is, and I'm telling you, this is after 8.5 years, this is really just fresh for me, is it's been a really excellent opportunity for me to go through this grief and experience this grief. And it's been hard, most definitely, but it's been really incredibly freeing, for lack of a better word. So let's talk a little bit about this, because getting this intellectual grasp on what the grief process is can just help you get emotionally aware of the grief. And grief can come. Here was my first big takeaway on this. Grief about the ending of your love relationship can come in different forms, not just the grief around that you're losing your love partner. It can be grief around losing the future plans that you had together. It can be grief around the actual relationship itself. It could be grief around losing the role of being a husband or a lover. It could be grief around the status of being a couple. So the grief can be around more than just that this person's no longer in your life. And so that was a really big one for me. Let's talk about, or let's identify some symptoms that you might be experiencing grief. And this is likely to be, and so we all go through and we all experience the emotions that come up through this process in different ways at different times. But I recognize now that I repressed a lot of this grief that came up in the beginning of my separation and divorce. And I feel like if I had taken more time to identify it, and you know, we all have our coping mechanisms, right? So for me, it was just repressing it. I'm going to power through this, and I'm not going to let these emotions come up. And I hear that from guys oftentimes, that, you know, it's hard to tune into this. But if you can tune into this, here are some symptoms that you might need to be paying attention to, not trying to power through, or maybe even numb it with alcohol or drugs or sex or whatever else it might be. But, you know, you could be experiencing lack of sleep. So what that's going to be is you're emotionally drained in this process. You're not sleeping. And we've talked about it lots of times in the show, in that you need to be able to take care of yourself throughout this entire process. So if you're not sleeping, that could potentially be a sign. And if you're feeling continually tired and drained through this, that you need to look at and try to start working through the grief that you're experiencing from the loss of this relationship. Eating, if you're not eating. Now, a select few people might be eating a lot and overeating, but typically you might have a loss of appetite or just not be interested in foods or the same foods that you had before, and you just kind of have this empty feeling in your stomach where you used to be hungry, but you're not anymore. And I don't know about you, I'm Italian. I love food. Family revolves around cooking and eating and doing all of that stuff. So that, looking back, was a big identifier when I wasn't doing that stuff or interested in doing that stuff anymore, that I should have recognized as something that, okay, well, what are the feelings behind this and what am I trying to, you know, push away? Another one is Sighing often. So that sounds like, right? You're driving down the road where you're kind of just sitting there at your desk in your office and doing some work, and it's just a sign that your body is attempting to allow emotions to come up to release the tensions that are inside your body. Listen, if you can listen to your body, if you can pay attention to your body, and we're going to talk about some breathing and some affirmations as ways to mitigate some of this grief and work through some of this grief later. But if you can listen to what your body's telling you, it's going to be the best indicator of what's going on. Your body is the receptor of everything that's going on. If you can tune into that, so something like sighing. Another symptom might be rapid mood changes. Now, I got to tell you this one. I'm going to be honest. I get all of these. Like, all of these are like, oh yeah, damn, that's me. Damn, that's me. Okay, well, I needed to work through some grief here, and so, yeah, rapid mood changes. So you might be just feeling good, and then all of a sudden, the sadness washes over you. And I know that that happened to me oftentimes. The biggest one for me was when going through transitions, parenting transitions with my daughters, and knowing that I wasn't going to see them for the time period that my ex would have them for parenting time. And then it would just be, I'd be powering through it, get to the office. I might be in the middle of some important work, and then all of a sudden, just a sadness rushed over me. And so we're also going to talk about, finding a time to do this grieving, because obviously it's not very convenient if you're in the middle of a meeting to be able to try to work through the grief. So you got to try to find that time so you can control that and try to make it productive for you. Let's see. Another symptom might be a lack of contact with your feelings, and you're just kind of feeling like you're afraid to trust your feelings, and that's the common one in because we're questioning everything that's gone on in the ending of our relationship, and in an ability to control them. Like I said, having that sadness come up just like in the middle of an inconvenient time. Another one that's really interesting is fantasizing during your grief. You could be just kind of like having stuff come up, like you heard them talking to you, or you thought you saw them, or something like that. That's not one that I've ever recognized, and so that's from the book as one. But apparently, that can be one that your subconscious is just kind of like messing with you about, trying to get your attention to pay attention to the fact that you need to be working through this grief. Some other ones are loneliness, lack of concentration, weakness and helplessness, depression, guilt, lack of interest in sex, maybe even a feeling of impotence or frigidity, and then self-criticism. That's one that I had a ton of, especially around the fact that that the marriage was ending, and my children weren't going to have this ideal family life that I had envisioned. So that was something that I just recently had to work through, is this idealization of a family life and grieving the fact that that's not happening anymore. So self-criticism is definitely one. Anger, being angry. It's okay to be angry. It's today with guys, we're often told, don't be angry. Anger is bad. Anger is okay. Anger, just like sadness, is another emotion. Having these emotions come up is absolutely okay. How we process those is important, though. So just like when sadness comes up and how we process that, do we just close the blinds, curl up and get out and get away from society and be depressed for weeks on end? Or do we have that come up and we process that in a positive manner in which we can learn from it? Same with anger. When the anger comes up, how do we process that? There's healthy ways to process that, and unhealthy ways to process that anger. So be aware of it. And then the last one I want to talk about is suicidal feelings. And there is an absolute crisis in men's health and around men with suicide. And I want you to know that if you're feeling suicidal feelings, that's pretty common. And this book talks about 75% of people who've gone through the seminars that are based upon this book have had or felt suicidal feelings. So it's a common thing. But I want you to know that anything that you can talk about is you don't have to act out. So if you can talk about it, you don't have to act it out. And I'm gonna ask you to repeat something. If you're having these suicidal thoughts now and you're listening to this, I want you to repeat this with me right now. I believe I will feel better by talking to another person. So please say that to yourself. I believe I will feel better by talking to another person. Therefore, I promise to reach out and call or talk to another person if I should be feeling suicidal. Say that again. Therefore, I promise to reach out and call or talk to another person if I should be feeling suicidal. And I'm going to give you my direct cell phone number right now if you're feeling that way. It is 720-255-1021. Again, it's 720-255-1021. You can call me, you can text me, and we'll figure out a way to get you help. But get help, because there's too much that you need to be doing in this life, your family and your children, and it's okay to be having these feelings. We'll find a way for you to work through those. So on that note, what are the stages? So I mentioned that Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, she's done some work around this and has identified the five stages of grief. And so, like I said, I intellectually knew these. The first one is you're just denying it. This isn't happening to me. If I just wait a while, it'll go through. Oftentimes this is when you're just first either starting to have problems in the relationship, or you may have just filed, or your ex or your future ex may have just filed, and you're still very cordial and nice to each other, but you're denying the fact that this is actually really even going to happen. The second stage is anger. And again, you're feeling frustrated about what's going on, but there's kind of a catch 22 in this type of anger or in the early stage around it. And that's it. That is, you might be trying to convince yourself or others like what a terrible person your spouse or your partner was. And on the flip side, you're feeling and thinking to yourself, well, if they're so terrible, why have I been with them? Why did I fall in love with them? Why did I have this relationship? Why have I done what I've done? What part have I had in this? There's all kinds of stuff going in. So it's a challenging thing, but it's okay to have the anger. That is the base point I want to let you know, that being angry is okay. Being angry and acting out and taking it out on the other person is not okay. Finding healthy ways in order to process the anger is good and is positive. And we're going to talk about some ways to get through this just after we get through these stages. Third stage is bargaining, right? I'll do anything if will just take me back, or I'll do anything to get him or get her back. And so this one is typically dangerous and challenging in the early process, early in the process of divorce, because what you'll see in couples is that they'll start to get back together for the wrong reason. So you're going through this grief process, you're hitting this step 3, and then you're bargaining like, this pain is too much. This, you know, I'm denying it. I've had this anger about it, and it just, it's so painful that I'm, you know, I just want to go back to the relationship. And, you know, it's that, that whole philosophy of the devil I know is better than the one that, that I don't, right? The pain here is better than the pain I might be experiencing going down the road. So be aware of that. That's step three. Step four then is the letting go of the relationship. During this time, you're likely to be feeling really blah, maybe a little bit depressed, questioning what's the purpose of your life, what am I doing, where am I going. That's why I've developed some of this process as far in respect to specifically with men during this of creating a vision and direction, because this is a good time and a good opportunity. Book doesn't talk about this, but this is work that I do with men about things, starting to create that that vision, because then that what that starts to do is help move towards what it is that you want. And then the final step of acceptance, like you've started to get some relief from the emotional pain and the grief. You don't feel as much investment into the relationship. You think that you can start moving forward. You've got this vision direction. You start taking, you know, strategizing your actions, start creating some ways in which you can move forward, and then you'll feel better about this. So those are the five steps: denial, anger, bargaining, letting go, and acceptance. So it's great to know these in theory and in, you know, intellectually, but let's talk about now working through the griefs. So I'm going to share several different processes. Some of them I have used, some of them I haven't. Everybody, again, we're all going to go through this. Like I said in the beginning, this may come up at different times. We're all going to experience this in different ways. And how you get through it is going to happen differently for you. But being aware of it and working to get through it is the most important thing. So how do you get through it? What are some ways to do it? The first one is trying to find a set time to be able to do this. And I think that's really important, because that's not something that I did. And so I can share that. It creates a chaotic mindset sometimes for me. If I will come in and I have not carved out the time, and I find that this is coming up for me when I journal a lot. So I've talked a lot about journaling, and that's one of the things that that I'm going to suggest that you utilize in order to find that time and have prompt this stuff. Because some of this, if you can stay in control of it, you can prompt yourself to have this grief come up and then use these tools to deal with them, then that is going to be the best case, as opposed to, like, we don't invite this stuff to come in most of the time. So what I'm saying here is try to find a way to invite this stuff to come up. So another one that is good is music. Some kinds of music will prompt this stuff. So for me, how this looks is finding a time, usually early in the morning, to journal. So start to write about something. And then I have a music for mine is country love songs, right? Okay. This brings up all of my, I'll tell you what it brings up. It brings up most of my codependent thought processes, which then brings up this grief about a lot of things. And then I'm able to write down in journal about all of this stuff. So the journaling, the listening to music is a good one. And then there's a couple other things that we can do when it comes up. One of those is, so I'm a firm believer in meditation, but also along lines with incorporating into the meditation and getting quiet and into your own self and your mind is affirmation. So I'm going to read a few affirmations that you can say to yourself when this comes up. Actually, let's talk about breathing first. So because sometimes this stuff, like I said, comes up at inopportune times. So breathing is a really excellent one, and that can it be as simple as excusing yourself to the men's room, or excusing yourself to the office or your room or somewhere where you can just get quiet for a minute or two and do breaths. And that is as simple as taking 1 minute and doing a breathing exercise where you're breathing deeply in through your nose, just as deep as you can into your belly. Maybe for 3 to 5 seconds, holding that for a few seconds, and breathing that out. You can breathe it out with sound. I find that that helps. Just a. Breath like that. You can try different ways. Breathe it deep into your belly. Fill up your belly, fill up your body. And if you can close your eyes and you can envision that you're filling up yourself with positive energy, or you're filling yourself up with self-love, with anything that is going to help you through this, that will help. You can breathe in quickly, hold it, breathe out quickly. You can breathe in quickly, out quickly, or I mean slowly. In quickly, out slowly. Like that. I find that that will often help settle this, maybe the sad feeling, angry feeling, emotional feeling, depressed feeling, whatever that may be. And it can bring you to just a baseline. That can bring you to a baseline where then you're able to say, okay, I've got this emotion that's coming up, but I've got a baseline control over that for the moment. And then maybe an affirmation. So let me read you some affirmations. And I'm going to write these. I'll write these affirmations in the show notes below because they're good ones to write down. You can write them on a note, put them on your computer, keep them in your pocket. I used to keep some in my pocket that I could pull out in a little notebook that I could read through. And they are, the first one is, I'm ready to acknowledge and grieve the losses I'm experiencing in my life. I'll say that again. I'm ready to acknowledge and grieve the losses I'm experiencing in my life. The second one, I'm committed to investing more in the relationship with myself so that I can become the person I am capable of becoming. Again, I'm committed to investing more in the relationship with myself so that I can become the person I am capable of becoming. The third one, I am strong enough emotionally to allow myself to grieve appropriately. I am strong enough emotionally to allow myself to grieve appropriately. The fourth one, I am open and ready to learn how to love myself more. I am open and ready to learn how to love myself more. The next one, I'm committed to reaching out to others and asking for what I need and want. I'm committed to reaching out to others and asking for what I need and what I want. And the last one, I am simply feeling my feelings, and that's perfectly natural. And if you don't say any other affirmation at all, please say that one to yourself whenever this stuff comes up. Even if you're going to numb it, even if whatever you're going to do or try to escape it or set it down, if you can take 1 second and say, I am simply feeling my feelings and that's perfectly natural. I am simply feeling my feelings and that is perfectly natural. Please just say that one. It is a fantastic one and it's absolutely true. All these feelings are feelings and they're natural. Sometimes we've been conditioned to think that they're not good. There's no bad feeling. being depressed is not bad. It is your body telling you to deal with something. Being sad is not bad. It is your body recognizing that you need to deal with something. Being angry is not bad. It is your body telling you that you need to recognize something. So there's one last tool that I want to make you aware of. And this one was absolutely phenomenal for me when I went through and I did it. And that is a goodbye letter. Now, the goodbye letter can be structured however you want it to be structured. And basically what you're saying is you're saying goodbye to your ex, your spouse, your ex-lover, whatever the relationship that you're saying goodbye to. And how I structured mine, which I found was beneficial, was that I structured it that I was saying goodbye firstly to all of the things that I really liked about the relationship, because like I said earlier, we're not only grieving the loss of the individual themselves, but we're grieving the loss of many things. And many of those things are good, positive things that we wanted, like being a husband or tucking your kids into bed every single night. I mean, those are things, even when I think right now, when talking about and thinking about them, that gets to me. And so this is obvious, like you can hear my voice, that I've not completely worked through the grieving of some and all of those things. And that's an okay thing. So putting in this letter that you're saying goodbye to those things is a positive thing to be able to grieve that. And then the second part for me was saying goodbye to all the terrible, crappy things that were part of the relationship, the gaslighting and the lying and all of the mental and emotional abuse or any of the other things that you didn't like about the relationship. The book has many different examples in there about saying goodbye. And those are the ones that really feel good about not having that in your life anymore, but you're saying goodbye to those, and those are really positive. So you're not necessarily going to send this, okay? Let me just be clear too. You're saying goodbye and you're writing this letter to the person, but I highly recommend you don't send this off, because this is for you. This is for your process, your grieving process, and you're wanting to say goodbye, and this is a tool for you. So let's just run through those few tools that we talked about. The journaling, the prompts, like find a time. Find a time, try to be deliberate about this when you can do this, because it's going to be helpful. Find a time if you need prompts, sad music, maybe a place in your home, maybe some memories that will help you to work through and prompt this grief. And then write about it. The journaling is really fantastic. Or write that grief letter. You can do that at that time. And then the breathing, if it, even at that time, you might look and hey man, you're likely gonna cry through this, and that's okay. And so grab the tissues or a handkerchief and just let it out, because that is something that is your body responding to a necessity of you getting it out. And we're told often as guys, you know, suck it up. So the breathing exercises are excellent. If you need them, breathe through it. But if you need to get these emotions out, cry it out. Just let it out. Let it all out. Scream, yell. If it's anger that's coming out, get this emotion out. It's your body. Because if you don't, it's going to manifest in your body somewhere else in some other way. Sickness, injury, etc. So let this happen. And that's why finding the time to control it is the healthiest, best way. But if it's coming up at an inopportune time, breathing can be very effective in just helping you through that. And then the last one, the goodbye letter. Goodbye to maybe all the things that you did like about the relationship. Goodbye to all the terrible, bad things that you didn't like about the relationship. So I hope this helped. I hope I was able to convey this in a really concise manner. It's a new one for me, my friends. It really is. And I'm working through this one really now. And if you haven't experienced grief and you haven't worked through it like I have, and I haven't had any really close people die and have to work through that grief process and didn't do the work at the end of my marriage to work through this grief process. And so now 8.5 years later, I'm a slow learner. Okay, I understand. I'm working through some of this stuff, but if you can do it, if you can get ahead of the game on this, then you're going to have a much more healthy mental and emotional state to go through the rest of some of this process. And so I highly recommend this book. It's Rebuilding When Your Relationship Ends by Dr. Bruce Fisher. I'll put it in to the show notes below. Pick it up. I'm also working on developing a seminar based upon this. They have a whole curriculum that's 10 weeks, 10 sessions. And so look for that in the future that I'm going to be offering for us to work through together on this. And it's really, really fantastic. In the meantime, if you can help me out, like the show, share it with a friend. If you can write a review on any one of the podcast forums, if you're listening on podcasts, that is incredibly helpful. And again, if you're going through a challenge, please go to the divorcedadvocate.com, my website. You can click on book a call. There's a free, no obligation breakthrough session. Let's just talk about whatever you've got going on. And definitely if you're having thoughts of suicide or ending your life, call me 720-255-1021. Thank you for listening today. I hope that you are enjoying the holiday season, and I look forward to seeing and talking to you next week.